Take your Bibles, if you would, Psalm 100. Psalm 100. In my Bible, there's a subtitle about above all the Psalms, and in this one, it's a Psalm of Praise, a Psalm of Praise, or a Psalm of Thanksgiving. And it's one of the only Psalms that has that title. And so tonight, even though we've looked at this Psalm probably five or six times before in different ways, I want to look at it again tonight and just remind you of some blessed truths about Thanksgiving on this night before Thanksgiving. This is a psalm that the Jews would sing as they went into the temple, as they went into their church, so to speak. They would sing it as they came. They would sing it when they got there, as they entered the gate of the temple. And this psalm, it's sort of divided in, not in half, but you take the first three verses and then verses 4 and 5, and you can divide it into two parts, and they both are a call to thanksgiving, a call to praise God. And in each part, after it calls us to praise him, it tells us why we should praise him. Now, as you read through this psalm, it reminds us of some of the things that God has done for us. And we sure ought to be thankful for the things that God does for us. The things that you mentioned in your testimonies tonight, some of the things that God has done, some of the things that God has kept you out of. And I would say that when we get to heaven, if God does let us review our life, that we'll find out that he kept us out of a lot of things that we never knew that he did. That he was working behind the scenes and working in our life, and we had no idea he was. We were just under his protective hand and passed through a situation or passed through a spot on the road like Karen was talking about a moment ago, and we were protected by him and didn't know it. And we sure ought to thank God for the things that he does for us. But my point will be tonight, I'll just go ahead and tell you what my point is going to be, so that when I make it, you'll recognize it, and then I'll remind you at the end. So I'll give it to you three times. We ought to praise God and thank God for who he is. If he doesn't do, I mentioned this Sunday night as I was finishing up my sermon, if he never does anything for us again, and I don't believe for one minute that he's going to stop working in our life, but if he never does anything for us again, no more blessings to count one by one, Helen, as you were talking about a moment ago. No more good things from God into our life. We still should praise him for the kind of God that he is. And that's what the psalmist reminds us of in this psalm. So let's look at it. We're just going to do a little Bible study tonight for these five verses. Here's what it says in verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. You know, that's a verse that I claim, because I don't lay any claim to being able to sing on tune. If I'm on tune, it's luck more than it is skill. I don't lay any claim to knowing a lot about music. I mean, just ask the people in the choir. We're just going to sing. And so I'm glad God doesn't say, well, you got to be musically correct, or you got to sing on key, or you got to stay on tune, or have the right timing. He just says, make a joyful noise, and we can all do that, right, Peggy? We can all do that. We can all make a joyful noise unto him, and that's what it says. It's unto him. When we praise the Lord, it should not be to impress other people. It should not be to draw attention to ourselves. It should be to him, and because he is worthy of all our praise. And so when the Jewish people got ready to go into the temple, when they got ready to go into their place of worship, they would make a joyful noise unto God. They would sing, and they would praise him. And they would shout, and the emotion that they were expressing was an emotion of joy. And I was thinking about that this afternoon a little bit, about how it looks like different people feel when they come to this place. Some of you tonight, one or two of you look like tonight, like you got something on your heart and your mind that you may be worried about, because you didn't smile very much. Others may be thinking about everything that's going to go on tomorrow. And I understand that when we come to this place, we come out of our life. We come out of the circumstances of our life. And certainly those circumstances will influence how we come. But what this psalm reminds us of is that when we come to this place, we ought to come with an emotion of joy. We ought to look forward to coming to this place. I mean, if the only reason you come is because God says over there in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If you only come because of duty, then you keep coming because of duty. But my prayer is that the Lord will help us all get to that point where we look forward to coming to this place Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and we come with joy. We come with an expectancy that we're going to come into God's presence, that we're going to hear from Him as we open His Word. And, I wish we could get excited about coming to church as Brother Harold gets excited about going to Old Country, or Brother Leonard get excited about going to Old Country Buffet. Huh? Oh, I know. I'm just, okay. I know, Helen. I'm just, I like to pick on those two guys. They're so pickable upon. I don't know if that's a word or not, but that's what I'm talking about. That when we think about Sunday and we think about Wednesday, that we do so not, oh man, it's time to go to church again. I have to go to church. No, I get to go to church. I get to go meet with God's people. I get to hear, get into God's word. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. In Psalm 84, David wrote this, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And so what the psalmist is saying is, hey, as we come into the house of the Lord, let's make that joyful noise. Let's make that praise to our God. And notice who he invites to do that. He says, everybody, all ye lands, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And that's what we ought to do. When we come to this place, we ought to have joy in our heart because we're coming in to God's presence. Now, look at verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. What the psalmist is saying is, I not only want you to praise the Lord, but I want that praise to turn into service. I want you to praise him, and I want you to thank him. And we're going to talk about in verse 3 why we should do that. He says we need to praise him, and we need to be thankful unto him. But that praise and thankful spirit ought to lead to service. Because if we just say it with our words and never turn it into actions, then it's an empty praise. Because our thanks to God, as we realize what God has done for us, I think about that song, after all he's done for me, how can I do less than give him my best? And remember, what's the rest of it, Teresa? I can't remember the rest of it. And live for him completely, something like that, after all he's done for me. And as we remind ourselves of what God has done for us, we need to serve him. Now, if you just serve him without the praise, your service becomes work. It becomes drudgery. But when you put the two together, you have a love for God that's growing because you're reminding yourself, and as you thank him of who he is and what he's done, and the kind of God that he is, and as that love grows, the service comes with it, and the two together make a pretty good combination. I would just, let me just give you an earthly example. If you tell your wife that you love her, and you're pretty consistent about telling her that, but you never do anything to show her that you love her, like doing the laundry, Brother Dwayne. I thought that was a good testimony. That's the way you're showing Jean that you love her. The service and the love goes together. I mean, if you just tell her, I love you, I love you, I love you, and never do anything for her, pretty soon she's going to say, well, I wonder if he really does. In the same way, if all you do is work, and never tell her that you love her, that service becomes work. It becomes drudgery. You need to put the two together. The more you love your spouse, the more you'll want to serve them. I mean, it goes together. And it's the same way in our love and service toward God. The more we praise him, the more we are reminded what a good God that he is, and the more we're reminded of what a good God he is, the more we want to serve him. And so it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Gladness. Don't ever fail to recognize the wonderful privilege that we have to serve God. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. I mean, you think, you're serving the one who made the world. You're serving the one that holds it all together. The omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God. That's the one we're serving. And what a privilege it is to serve him. And we should do it in the spirit of gladness, not grudgingly. Not just because we have to. I mean, again, if the only reason you're going to do it is because you have to, then you keep doing it. But we ought to get to that point in our life where we are glad to serve him. And come before his presence with singing. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, as God peels back the curtain of heaven, as he gives us glimpses into heaven in the prophets and in the book of Revelation, most of the time we find creatures in heaven, be it angels or the saints that are gone on before us, they're singing. They're singing praises to God. They're offering up their thanksgiving to God. And we might as well go ahead and get in practice. Might as well do some down here so that when we get to heaven, it won't be so foreign to us. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Then look at verse 3. Now here this tells us why. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. Now, I could stop right there and I could spend the next 15 minutes talking about why that's why we should praise him, because he is God. That's the only reason that we need to praise him. He is God. But the verse goes on. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. It is God that made us. We didn't make ourselves. Our mom and dad didn't make us. God made us. You are tonight, for the most part, the way you are because God made you that way. Now, I know, John, I eat too many Butterfingers, and so I have some responsibility for the shape that I'm in. Too many White Castle hamburgers. I know I'm responsible for the shape that I'm in. But God made me the way he wants me to be, and he made you the way he wants you to be. And it says that we are his people. He not only made us as Christians, he bought us. He redeemed us. He sent his son to die for us. And we are the sheep of his pasture, which tells us that he's going to take care of us. He leadeth us beside the still waters. He makes us lay down in the green pastures. He restoreth our soul. He prepares the table before us in the presence of our enemies. He anointeth our head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He does take care of us. Now, again, we ought to praise him because he made us. We ought to praise him because we belong to him. We ought to praise him because he does take care of us. But the main reason we ought to praise him is because he is God. He is God. He deserves our praise. So, the first call to praise him is verses 1 and 3. The second one is verses 4 and 5, where this psalm says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. Good. Now, that's my point. He's God, and he's good. If nothing else, if you don't see anything else, that's enough to praise him. He's God. And he's good. I use that verse from James chapter 1 on Sunday. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father above, in whom there is no shadow of turning or variableness. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but he's good. He is a good God. That's why we ought to praise him. And then notice what it says. His mercy is everlasting. I'm glad we have a God that has everlasting mercy. I'm glad he never gets tired of showing us his mercy. I'm glad he never changes. I've said before, one of the things that makes God God is that he never changes. Can you imagine what it would be like? And Adam and Jessica accused me of this, and now Chantel joins in the choir as they accuse me of this. You know, I like to play games. They don't like to play because they always... No, I shouldn't say that. I was going to say they always lose. But at times, I change the rules of the game. And they don't like that. I don't know why, but they don't like it. But can you imagine, just in that example, trying to play a game that somebody makes up the rules as you go along? I can remember my brother and I, whenever we get together... Like tomorrow, we'll get together, we'll eat, and he and I will spend the afternoon playing Scrabble. Nobody likes to play with us because we sort of make up our own rules. One of the rules is that you can use the dictionary before you make your play, and it takes us a long time to play. I mean, I go through all the Z words trying to find a word. But I remember one time our other brother was there, and his wife said, her name's Vicky, says, well, I'd like to play with you. I said, well, sure, she wanted to make up the rules that were different than ours. I mean, we only played about four turns, said, no, you can't play with us anymore. We don't like those rules. But can you imagine what it would be like playing a game where the rules kept changing? And then just leap ahead in your thinking and say, can you imagine what it would be like to serve a God where he kept changing the rules, where he kept changing the way to please him? Can you imagine what it would be like if we had a different Ten Commandments every day we woke up? I'm glad we have a God that changes not. Changes not. He hasn't changed one bit. I mean, he's been the same all eternity past. He'll be the same all eternity future. He does not change. And that verse says, his mercy is everlasting. I'm sure glad we got a God that never runs out of mercy. Because if we got what we deserved, well, we wouldn't want to get what we deserve. Say, even as Christians, we don't want what we deserve. I'm glad we got a God that mercy is everlasting. I'm glad we got a God that's, like it says in the book of Lamentations, his mercies are new every morning. Doesn't mean they're new mercies. It's the same mercies we've always had, but he rolls them out anew every morning. And we ought to praise him because he's good. And then that last phrase, and his truth endureth to all generations. This is the truth of God right here. It was true when it existed in the mind of God in heaven before he created anything on earth. It was true as the men that he used to put words to paper, as they put them to paper. It was true when they were written. It's true today. It'll be true in when we've been there 10,000 years, like it says in the last verse of Amazing Grace, this word, his truth, will still be true then. It will not change. And that's one reason why we ought to memorize the Bible. Because it's not done change. When we get to heaven, this will be the same Bible that we use. I mean, we'll still have this book. We'll still have the truth embodied in Jesus Christ. And it'll be the truth that we've always had, the truth that we've always known. And so, again, God is God. And God is good. And if he's blessing us in our life, if he's showering us with blessings and those blessings are good, we ought to praise him. But if there's no blessings, if our life has fallen apart, it seems like we're going through the valley of circumstances, and things are all mixed up. You're discouraged. God is still God, and God is still good, and God still deserves our praise, and we ought to praise Him. Anybody have a question or a comment?